Yo, yo, yo. Yo, yo, yo. Yo. What two, what two? What a do, what a do. It's your boy, Skeeter Steve.
And Nikki B.
And welcome to another episode of Lace Rhymes, where we're giving it to you for the culture and by the culture.
We're back.
Yes. And it's finally cold in this motherfucker. The cold weather is finally hit.
Yes.
Sweater weather is upon us.
Yes. You see, Steve broke out the schoolboy Q crew neck, so.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So there's going to be plenty of more coming, so yeah.
No, coming soon. You know what? Something about the winter. Okay, so starting off. But no, something about the winter is the fact that I like dressing warm.
Me too.
Because I feel like I have more control over the temperature. I can always add on layers.
Uh-huh.
Being out here in this desert, it's right. just really hard to just really like find that level and all that kind of deal. So I thought winter was going to go above us just simply by it being at the end of October.
Right.
But it came in just in time to make it uncomfortable for the kiddos to trick-or-treat. Huh? Yeah, so.
No, for real. Like, I knew it was coming, and it always happens like that. Like every every October, like it starts getting cold, like towards the end, and then as soon as when Halloween comes, it's like
it's unbearable.
50, yeah, it's like 50, 60 degrees outside, man.
Yes, but man, tell me what you've been up to. It's been a minute, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like we if you guys didn't catch it last week, we had the bonus episode exclusively on YouTube where my guy Skeeter Steve held it down and interviewed It's Tope.
Oh yeah, man. Man, shout out to my boy Tope, man. Like real good peoples, man. You know, just was able to, you know, sit down, pick his brain, you know, him telling me, you know, what got in him into producing, his influence, hip hop influence. And especially like, it was just so dope that like, you know, me and him has the same similar Bay Area influence, like in regards of Bay Area music too, as well. Then we got into, you know, him linking up with LaRussell and their relationship. And then just not only that though, man, shout out to them, man, because hey Tope, y'all, I see y'all out there in New York, man, like y'all moving, like making real, like some real noise, man, having a packed out show in New York and then turn around and sold even more extra tickets, and then on top of that seeing y'all at the Breakfast Club Sway in the morning. Hey, man, salutes to y'all,
making moves, for real.
But if y'all want, the bonus episode is up on our YouTube page, and, like, you could check it out and everything. And not only that, though, too, like, check out his Instagram, too, as well, man. That man be working, man. And he does, like, a lot for, like, you know, for music and even credit to artists, like, you know, working with Neff the Pharaoh, E-40, and even shockingly too, he did a couple of joints for Little Brother too as well.
Okay, all right, yes, man. Shouts out to Little Brother. Legends, for sure.
I mean, you guys won't be disappointed. Won't be disappointed at all.
See,
though,
it's so coming over to you too, right?
Yes.
Weather.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Well, again, thank you guys for continuously staying tapped in. We love it here. And yeah, it's just been, it feels like it's been too long, but man, I'm happy to be back on.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes, you know, needing that reset and that recharge is always good, no matter what the circumstances may be. Like, we all need that hard reset and that hard recharge. So I mean, hey, feels good to be back in the space, so you know we could get into all the shits
the place
and
the space to be. Absolutely.
So
man, aside from that, that's pretty much you did the episodes and everything else. But has there been anything else in the pipeline?
Oh, none. I just been chilling on my free time because, yeah, your boy officially got fired from his job last week.
Oh, man. Damn, this turned to a therapy session.
Oh, no, yeah.
No. I'm like, hey. I didn't expect. I was like, okay. So, all right. Well, shit. No. Like, you know, we pursuing things on a full-time level.
I just, like, for me, like, maybe it was that time, but maybe I didn't want to, per se, leave, so... Hey, I'm just looking at it as like God is like, okay, I see what you're doing. You're making this happen. You're doing your end. Mm-hmm. So two things is gonna happen. You either quit or else I'm gonna force you
he
out.
He has a way of pulling you away from situations, yes. Regardless if you're like, no, I don't want to let it go.
Yes.
It's like, I'm taking, it's time. It's
right,
time.
No,
it's
yeah.
I'm gonna take the, right. I'm taking, you know, right. That
like,
kind of deal.
It's like you at your friend's house and like, y'all playing the video game and like, you done got to the boss level and y'all been talking about this whole week, and then next thing you know, his mama knock on the door saying that, you know, you gotta go. No, I don't wanna go. They grab you by the collar of your shirt, pick you up, like, hey, you gotta go.
Yeah, that's that what they call it, divine intervention.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is. So, you know, amen to that, and salutes. You know, cheers to better endeavors. You
oh
know?
Yeah, or how I look at it, like, you know, the famous words from Sister. Go home, Roger.
That's what they were hitting you with. They hit you to go home, Roger. Nah. Like I said, I definitely foresee great things, you know, in the future, and that's great news, you know.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
You know, nothing happens to us; it happens for us. Yeah. Amen. Yes, amen. Yes, that's a bar right there. So.
It is. That was a bar. Yes. Man. Speaking of, you know, all this good stuff, man. So let's get into it, man. Like, honorable mention, man. You know,
Rolling right into it.
Wallow and Gilly the Kid reportedly signs a contract extension for $100 million deal with Barstool Sports for their podcast, $1 million worth of game, and signing a new deal. So this, I'm saluting this. Why? Because honestly, and I'm just gonna say this. You don't necessarily have to be famous to get these deals. I know people who's not even famous or not even on that level is getting deals like this. So for them to do this, especially for hip-hop culture, this lets you know, man, it is enough room for everybody to eat.
Oh, that is, man. Like, this was so inspiring. It wasn't one of those things, I'm jealous. It was definitely one of those inspirational moments, especially the fact that, like you said, $100 million, that's life-changing.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And then the fact that they did it, signing it to Rick Ross's Rich Forever, which was also, like, kind of, like, almost a double entendre because of all the Gilly the Kid and... you know, the whole situation with him and, you know, Rick going back and forth. But, no, this was a huge moment for the culture, because it's just letting you know that you can do it too. And when we see these things, we definitely have to salute them, because it's just, it's amazing.
No, it is amazing. And it just lets you know, like, hard work never go unnoticed. And this goes for everybody. Like, I know people that's, you know, famous or even not famous. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to dope person. His name is Omar. Runs a YouTube channel called Think Media. Okay. Where to the point where, like, they're getting like 5-6 different streams of income, and it's just like off of YouTube, and where they're, you know, teaching people how to, you know, use equipment like what we're using, cameras, live streaming, and letting people know, hey, you can do this on YouTube too, and there's never too late to start. All you have to do is just start. Mm-hmm. You just have to take that first step. So for them, just even just doing this and even just other the outside ventures, you know what I'm saying, like, in regards to, like, you know, what they got going on. I mean, like, this is major. So, I like, with this and even in the podcast space, guys, I'm just going to let you know, this leads to other things where not only you getting deals like this, you're getting paid to speak at seminars, you're getting paid to do paid partnerships for clothing brands, or even just to stay at a simple hotel and do it on a review. So, like what I said, it is enough room for everybody to
absolutely the universe is infinite.
Oh yeah, absolutely though. So shout out to Wallow and Gilly the Kid, man. Next up, the OG Ice-T celebrating being the longest running male actor in TV history.
Man, that's not a small feat. He's done 21 years on Law & Order Special Victims Unit alone. So, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's amazing. And like, just even through his acting career, yeah, of course, we all know, you know, New Jack City, and Law & Order, though. But honestly, my favorite.
Breaking?
No, not Breaking, which is dope, though. But I loved when he was the evil guy on New York Undercover when he played Danny Cord. Oh my God.
He was, like, but you know what, though? Man. Like, that shit was, don't get me wrong, New Yorker, we can actually do a whole bonus episode on New York Undercover and everything, and just how influential and how, like, for the culture.
Yes.
But no, like, his character, like, the way he did that wedding, he was just horrible. He was the worst. But it was so funny because Malik Yoba's girl on the show, JT's girl on the show, was from New Jack City also.
Yeah.
So it just all came full circle. But yeah, no, that's but you know, so funny too, because that's a Dick Wolf show too, just as well as Law and Order. Mm-hmm. Man, we need New York Undercover. I know they were talking about trying to bring it back and everything, but you know, it's never as good as the original,
yeah.
But New York Undercover, especially like that intro and the way they would play the songs in the beginning.
Right.
If I could get that box set of like the first few seasons, I'll be so satisfied. Right. But I'm sure I could watch them online. But it was just really flawless the way that they set that whole show up. And then even down to like how we got that taste of the live performances.
Man, amazing.
It wasn't Nipsey. Nipsey was on Martin. But what was the name of their spot on New York?
Oh, Natalie's. Yeah,
it was somewhere to end. Okay, all right, my guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah, because I mean, as a kid, I mean, I'm not trying to.
With the blue light and all of that, it's like jazzy, but you'll be seeing your favorite entertainers come in there, and they're just like regular, you know, they're not playing them up too much. Right. They just walking in and. Who it was Detective Taurus's dad. Not to take anything away from Ice-T. Congratulations. That's definitely something huge, just simply because we watch so many rappers take that turn from acting to rapping.
Yes.
And it's like for him, I'm one of my favorite. I'll go on ahead and say it. Like you like the whole New Jack City, and you know, of course, we got you said New Jack City, but New York Undercover.
Uh-huh.
We got Law and Order, but one of my favorite Ice-T appearances was Pimps Up Hoes Down.
Oh no, like,
when he played the whole grenade selling situation.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, you know. I used to sell grenades. When he's talking about how he got his record deal. But ultimately, I just feel like he doesn't get enough credit.
And he did not only that though, but dope movies. Yeah, we know New Jack City, but one of my favorites, Next to Juice, Trespass. That's a favorite of mine. Yes. And a lot of people don't know this. Y'all know he did a movie with Denzel Washington called Ricochet. It's a classic. Ricochet is a classic, and I mean the list goes like really goes on and on and on.
He's really in his acting bag. Yes. He's been in it, and the fact that he could even sustain on that on Law and Order for 21 years, and then syndication money. I think what was their baby? Okay, so Coco, and then I think the baby name is Chanel, which is his twin. I don't care what nobody says. That little baby looks like a clone of Ice-T. Right. So, you know, they're going to be eating forever. That's another Rich Forever moment, and, we love to see it. Huge salutes, and, you know, congratulations to Ice-T. Thank you for showing us again that we can do it, too, and that it is possible.
No, yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on. Let's get into it. Commentary for the culture. Now this one is spicy.
I know what y'all think he's about to talk about.
Not yet though. But I know how people are gonna feel when I say this. So, but you know what though, I can't even be mad at this because he said it himself. Jadakiss names his top five hip hop groups of all time. Jadakiss had revealed his top five hip-hop groups of all time. He wastes no little time reeling off the first four selections, which was N.W.A., good one. Wu-Tang Clan, good one. Ron DMC, I'm on the fence with that one. EPMD, that's a good one. And after some deliberation, the Yonkers native named Mobb Deep as his fifth and final pick. You know, paying tribute to the late Prodigy. Now, all these groups that he named, and it's like, don't get me wrong, like, I understand, like, you know, what Ron DMC did for the culture, and I did. Went back and listened to Ron DMC, but I'm not a fan of them like that.
Okay.
But the other groups, oh yeah, like, I fucks with Wu-Tang. I fucks with N.W.A. and I fucks with EPMD. Hey. Eric Sermon is a he's a beast, like, for real. And then last but not least, like, you know, Mobb Deep, like, that's a dope five, though. But here's where the drama comes in. A lot of people just saw, like, oh, man, why you ain't named the Lox? You know, like, why he ain't named his group? Hey, that's his five. That's how he feel. Maybe his group was inspired by them other five, and he felt like, okay, like, even though I know people that, you know, possibly, most likely put Lox as a top five, maybe top 10 or top three, not knocking it, but this is his top five that, you know, he pays homage to, got his influence and everything, and people that he listened to.
You know what, though? Like, I'm not going to say, like, I call BS on it, but I'll just go ahead and say, like, whenever somebody puts you on the spot for your top five, it's really kind of, it's difficult to answer that question unless you already have it orchestrated in your mind. Like, this is my top five. Boom, 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 boom. However, like, by him, I feel like it was taking more the modest approach. You know, which this very well could be his unadulterated top five for sure. But I feel like he was taking more of the modest approach because it's like what's expected. He's expected to put his group in the top five. He's expected to do that. So it's like, no, you know, this is a moment for me to go on ahead and shed light to give, you know, flowers to other artists and, you know, other groups that I listened to and came up on because everybody would be expecting me to put my group in the top five, which would be kind of more or less like, you know, like I said, it you would think it'd be there. So it's kind of sort of sometimes I'm not trying to play into what others would, you know, expect of me. So that's what I would think that he probably that might have been that just, you know, just a speculation.
No, yeah, but, this is true. That, this like, is true.
Why he made he maybe didn't put his.
Absolutely. And you know, and even, you know, you could even throw the argument in there, you know, throwing Tribe in there and even Outkast in
it's quite a few that you could go ahead and put in
I feel like and this is me, this is my opinion, and this is how I feel like when it comes to hip-hop groups. I feel like NWA and Wu-Tang Clan has to be in everyone's either top five or top 10. And the reason why I say that, Wu-Tang Clan, they put on for New York for a place that we never heard of. We heard of Brooklyn. We heard of the Bronx. But we never heard of Staten Island.
No, we hadn't.
You got nine motherfuckers that is dope that's coming out of Staten Island.
Dropping pure science.
Yes, yes, Staten Island. And then you move on to the West, you got these five young niggas coming from Compton, California.
Absolutely.
And let you know, like, what it's like and what is going on in our neighborhood. And not only that, though, before they even called it gangster rap, it was called reality rap. Let's just keep that real. And just with the beats, the production, and just their wordplay on everything. And how can you not be influenced by that?
I believe, like you said, those are two, the top two, they definitely have to stay. Like you said, it kind of gets a little hazy with the Run DMC. It's like, okay, like, you know, were you really standing on the corner with your Adidas? You know, but hey, what do we know? Well, you know, Jadakiss is a little seasoned. So it's like, okay. And then also, you know, giving respect because I know that you really like do, you know, you really go back and dig in a crate with the OGs and everything and, you know, the Furious Five and all of that kind of hip hop. So like, you know, to get to really give the flowers to Run DMC, I totally get it. Cause even with 50 Cent, Jam Master Jay like really paved the way for him. So you just never know like who's who in a lot of things like who really inspired who. So top five group thought that was really amazing in a sense that he went on ahead and took that opportunity to give more of credit and accolades to other artists.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Just kind of going with, you know, the unspoken. We already know what we should already know.
Right.
But speaking of groups, you said that JID and Earth Gang was almost about to sign to another artist before J. Cole, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. JID has admitted that he and Earth Gang were on the verge of signing with another artist before joining J. Cole's Dreamville. He spoke about it earlier in the days of his career on the verge of signing with Coach K, QC, quality control.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
That would have been a, you know, in all honesty, I you know, God just, again, you just never can deny just the power of God's will, because I don't believe that they would have been a good fit for quality control.
You know
what? The fact that they're Atlanta based, I get that part. I get that part. But also with like J. Cole, he has more of like that soulful feel up there where I feel like the culture and the chemistry is just unmatched. Could you imagine J.I.D. on the same, like in City Girls or J.I.D. and Lil
Migos,
Baby?
Migos.
J.I.D. and LaKia.
Yeah,
like come on now. Like not taking anything away from it, but it's just the point on like the culture of these labels, you know?
No, yeah, absolutely. And I probably like, if, let's just say hypothetically, if that did happen, I would have said it would have been the same energy, like the energy that we got over there at MMG. Now with MMG, you had like that whole that roster, like the, okay, let's look at the roster, the original five roster.
Okay,
you got Ross, Gunplay, Meek Mill, like, you know, for the gangsters, Radio Turn Up, and then the music for like the lyrical and the people that love music for music, you have Wale and Styli. And I fucked with Styli. But it just saw like it would be one of those situations where, okay, you got this half and that half, but will it work though? And
like, let's be completely transparent. Right. Wale did kind of get lost in some of the Maybach music sauce.
Yeah,
he did. It's a little difficult on trying to build that balance as opposed to having a label that's concentrated with that type of like culture in that music.
Yeah.
Because think Take TDE, for example. You know, though Schoolboy Q.
Yeah.
Is, you know, gangster rap, you know, reality rap, whatever you have. Then we got Abso, which is more conscious rap. Then we got Kendrick, which is pretty much a cross between reality rap and conscious rap. Then we have J-Rock, which is definitely more on the Schoolboy Q side. However, they all blended together nicely. They all were able to come together. And I feel like that was the disconnection with, say, for instance, a Maybach Music.
Yeah.
But in the sense of quality control, you have so much of this more modern kind of like, I won't call it drill. What would you constitute that, more trap down there?
More of a trap sound.
Is 42 sound. Doug on quality control also?
I don't know. You know what? Let me.
That's interesting, right? So it's like, but we know for a fact, Lil Baby. We know for a fact the Unk and Few now. We got we got the Migos also, but you know, I'm confused what they identify as these days. And we also have City Girls.
See, look, now you made me want to look up who's all on the roster now. So now hold on. Yeah, now I'm looking at the roster. Oh shit.
What they say, Killer Mike?
Damn. They just updated it. Migos, the only two names you see is Quavo and Takeoff.
Oh, they're not playing with that shit. You know what? I don't even know if they I seen something. What is it? Because they're having that Louisiana, right?
Yeah.
And on the Louisiana, it says Unk and Few. So I don't know if they're still gonna claim the Migos name. I know with that recent album, that was a Migos album. It's called Migos.
Right.
But maybe moving forward, they might go under Unk and Few.
Right. You know, okay, so so we got them. We got Lil Baby, we got Lil Yachty, we got Icewear Vizo. That was a good pickup for them. City Girls, LaKia, Duke Deuce. That was a good pickup.
This shit sound like Pokemon cards.
Hey, Duke Deuce tight though.
I'm just saying the fact that like the pickup and shit. This shit starting to sound like a Pokemon deck.
Right. Bankroll Freddy, Collision, Leighton Green, Jordan Hollywood, Metro Mars, J Fox, Gloss Up, Baby Money, and Destiny.
They got Gloss Up?
Yeah, got Gloss Up.
Who the hell is that?
I don't know who that is.
I'm just trying to get.
Oh my god!
Like, oh no, not Glossa. They got Glossa. We might have to review his album.
I see. Like, you know, glad they went that route with J. Cole, and he even spoke about Rich Homie Quan trying to give them a deal though, but he said the deal was just straight trash.
Hey, no, and it worked out to their benefit because, you know, not to minimize Rich Homie Quan's cachet these days, but where's Rich Homie Quan? They're exactly where they needed to be. Even with Earth Gang, they were already doing their thing prior to JID and the whole Dreamville anyway, I remember being introduced to them back in, 2011-ish? So that was real sick, and I feel like they're where they need to be. We would appreciate more music, and if not just, the more music, more of, the tours, more of the promotion, just more. We would really value more of seeing these artists together. Like, you know, because J.I.D. is about to start touring. I think he's doing something with Smino.
Yeah. I seen that.
You fuck with Smino?
Yeah, I fuck with Smino.
He's pretty sick.
No, yeah, Smino's smooth. All right, moving on. Before we get into the out of pocket segment, I actually like this, and I loved what he said about this and stand on this. Marlon Wayans on whether white chicks could succeed now. Society is in a place where we can't laugh anymore. I'm not mad at that. Marlon Williams aired out his frustration
Hold
with
on, why'd you just call my man?
Marlon.
You said Williams.
My bad. Marlon Wayans.
Put some respect on that Wayans name.
Yeah, I got to put some respect on that Wayans. My bad.
My bad. You did it. We never said to what y'all know.
His frustration with the so-called cancel culture after being asked in an interview with BuzzFeed if comedies like 2004 White Chicks can thrive in 2022. I think they're needed. I don't know what planet we're on, but where you think people don't need laughter, and that's the people that need to be censored and canceled. Wayne said, if a joke is going to get me canceled, thank you for doing me a favor. It's sad that in society, in this place, where we can't laugh anymore. And the 50-year-old continued, I ain't listening to this damn generation. I ain't listening to these folks, these scared-ass people, these scared-ass executives. I'm not mad at it.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the era that, you know...
We came up in,
you know, from shows like Chappelle's Show, Push the Button, and Living Color, Push the Button, Martin, Push the Button. You had all of the Wayne brothers, Push the Button, Jamie Foxx, Push the Button. That's what made comedy.
Not to even mention the shows that came up before that, like fucking Sanford and Son.
Right.
You got the Jets, Jeffersons.
Yeah.
All those shows, if you look at that shit, even down to All in the Family, if you kind of cross over.
Yeah.
All those shows was really risque. You look at the shows, I Love Lucy and all that. It's so many racist undertones within it.
Yeah.
But it's just the point of that was a time and place that we're in. I'm glad that he did address it, because even down to the whole white face versus black face and everything, it was just good that they were able to get that movie off at the time they got it.
They did.
That movie right now wouldn't be able to transcend the way that it is right now, just with this whole PC culture.
Yes.
And the level of sensitivity, which, you know, in some cases is rightfully so. Who the hell am I to tell anybody on what offends them?
Right.
But
man, that's why we still have shows like South Park.
And I love it. I love South Park. Right. The Simpsons is still kicking up dust. I just saw the funniest fucking episode ever a couple of weeks ago, and it was just oh my God, they are fucking hilarious. They're still doing it 35 some years later. But as far as, you know, right now with the, like you said, in Living Color, we had Sideshow Bob.
Yeah.
We had Vera DeMilo.
Right.
I said Sideshow Bob. That's Simpsons. So.
Sideshow Bob,
and he had his things too. Yeah. Shout out to Kelsey Grimer.
Yeah.
But no, Fire Marshal Bill. We had Wanda. We had the men on film that hated it.
Man, you know, what you about had, Handyman?
Oh my. And you know what? Now that one right now, that does kind of slowly make me feel a little uncomfortable. Look at that.
Handyman wasn't funny though.
Handyman was funny for the time it was funny for, but right now you're not about to get me to sit here and talk about Handyman and do any of those impersonations, those voices, because we already know what that was. But even down to Mad TV, they had their moments and everything as well. They exactly.
No.
Look what I can do.
No.
But you know what's so funny? Unpopular opinion. Matt TV was way funnier than SNL.
Facts.
Like, facts. You know, hey, whoever, like, don't get me wrong, SNL was able to stand the test of time, but Matt TV definitely
Yeah, hell, you know.
For all of my peoples that you remember that Saturday night, those Saturday nights on Fox, you know, hell, Fox was doing numbers at that time. But yeah, to go back to the point, I definitely believe that in these times, those type of movies, it's really, really hard to just make sure that you're checking every box and like that whole level of offense. And because you, the way that it is with certain words and all of that, it's hard to tote those lines these days. So, especially with the type of comedy that Marlon Wayans does. But what was that movie? Sextuplets? Did you watch that?
Yeah, yeah.
That shit was funny.
Yeah, no, Sextuplets was,
funny. That one was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny though, and I think he's absolutely right, because even just like with their family, man, they were known to push the buttons. And shit, one of my favorite movies to this day is
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
That was funny, but I'm a
Scary Movie
Two. Scary Movie Two is like the funniest.
Scary Movie Two was funny, but you know what? I can't put those above Don't Be a Menace.
You crazy? I would over that, and I'll throw this one in there. I'll even take this one too. I'll take A Haunted House too. The first one, A Haunted House, was funny.
Nigga, you put Haunted House over Don't Be a Menace?
Hell yeah!
Okay. All right. So you're telling me that you're gonna put Scary Movie. You'll put Scary Movie or Haunted House over Don't
Scary
Be a Menace.
Movie 2. Scary Movie 2.
Scary Movie 2. And don't get me wrong, Scary Movie 2 was funny. But it wasn't funnier than Don't Be a Menace.
They're both funny.
Okay.
Hey,
but your humor is different from my humor. Okay, so, all right, we'll check that out. We'll revisit that. We're going to table
that.
No, we're going to table that. Okay. We're going to come back to that, and we're going to ask the people about that. And
I was just about to say that. We can ask the people. This is what we're doing, okay? Don't Be a Menace or Scary Movie 2. We would say Scary Movie 1, though, but... Scary Movie 2. Everybody
No, go back to what you just said. No. Take it back to that Haunted House. What'd you say, Haunted House?
I said Scary Movie 2 first. I'll throw a Haunted House. So, but my first initial, if I'm going with my first initial, it has to be Scary Movie 2.
Okay, so I'll take that one. Scary Movie 2 or Don't Be a Menace to drinking your juice in South Central.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
All right. Out of pocket.
All right. And for those of you guys that are unfamiliar with this segment, this is our segment where we're going ahead and say something going on right now, one of the latest and greatest moments in pop culture that we just feel like is just like, what the hell's going on?
Right. Or it was just stupid.
It's just, yeah. It's
stupid. Just... stupid. Okay. Young Jock accidentally sends a stranger $1,800 and pleads with them to return it. Sorry, brother.
You know what? It's some things that's just like kind of figuratively out of pocket, but this one was actually literally out of pocket.
No, it really was. So, because like, why would you? Like, okay,
no,
so,
but Zelle can get tricky though.
Yeah, it can.
But they tell you, they give you the warning, so they tell you, you need to double check. Yeah. You never sent to this person, you need to double check.
Right.
And then, like, well, you know what? The thing that got me with this one, all right, so he sent the money to the stranger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked the stranger to send the money back, right? Which I understand.
Right.
$1,800, regardless as to who you are, Young Jock, Lil Jock. You know, OG Jock, whoever you are, that's some coins, right?
Right.
So he asks them to send it back.
Uh-huh.
And then the person ends up blocking him because it's like, nigga, that's your problem now. Like, whatever, right? So then this is where the out of pocket, you know, like where it actually made the out of pocket, you know, moment of the week is he ends up posting this person's phone number online and asking his followers and asking like everybody who came in contact with that post for them to start blowing this person up to get his $1,800 back. So can I get that Price Is Right That's all the instruments that we need there. That's the only soundtrack that we need on that one, because that's so much violation. I would have got more than $1,800 from you, nigga. I would have got like, I would have really sued you after that point, because now you're invading my privacy. Like, that's this person now has to change their number, because you know, with that recent Larry June actually did a drop a couple of weeks ago with the Mr. Midnight, and they did the hoodies and everything. Mm-hmm. But they not, I won't say that they fucked up on it, but they put a number on the back of the hoodie.
Oh my God.
And it was an actual number in San Francisco to a business. And that business, like, when everybody was getting it, they're thinking that he didn't set up some form of a hotline or whatever the case may be, like on some Mike Jones type shit.
Yeah.
It turned out to be a business, and this business got flooded with calls that day. It's just like, you know, when with that kind of stuff, like, you don't really want to play with anybody's numbers, like, and all that stuff. I've been a victim of, like, the whole spamming situation. And it's not nothing to be.
We all have, man. Yeah, they need to stop, though. But, yeah, this one was just stupid. Like, if one of my niggas got my, hell no, nigga, I'm not posting your number.
Well, if you gave, like, that shit hit me out, the $1,800, I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Right. Like, I don't know. Hello? You had the wrong number. The wrong number.
Hey, man, exactly. I don't know what you're talking about. Those lost and founds about to drop, sir. So what are you talking about, sir?
Right, exactly. No, exactly, man.
So it's about that time. We about to go ahead and hit him with the
Can I Kick It? Yes, sir. All right. Man, first up, we know it's been, this nigga's been in the news for every and anything. I'ma say his name, cause we know you ain't gonna say his name.
Say his name. Candyman.
So
don't you dare try to treat this nigga like he Breonna Taylor. Say his name. I don't think he like that anyway. She black.
Right. God damn it. Alright, oh my God. Yo, I gotta get through this segment, man. Yay. Adidas terminates partnership with Ye immediately. Adidas had went on board and said Adidas does not tolerate any anti-Semitism, any other hate speech. Ye's recent comments on everything that what he's been saying, his actions has been unacceptable, hateful, dangerous, and they violated company values and diversity and inclusion of mutual respect and fairness. After thorough review, the company has taken the decision to terminate the partnership with Ye immediately and end production of the Yeezy branded product and to stop all payments towards Ye and his companies. Adidas will stop the Yeezy business ineffectively. So immediately.
Yep. Okay.
So, all right. So, my thing is this. We get it. I'm with that. I understand that. Definitely understand that. But let's just be honest, though. Is people really going to be still wearing Adidas after that?
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because I just saw a video earlier today on TikTok where a guy was, like, sitting there, like, with a whole Adidas, like, those IKEA shelves or whatever. And he had his Yeezys, like, laid out and everything, and he doesn't know what to do with them. I know that right now it's kind of a drawback on people, because I don't, like I said in a previous episode, I don't own not one pair, so I'm not conflicted with that. That's not my bridge to cross. But do you wear the shoes, or do you sell them, or are they going to increase in value? Are they going to decrease in value? So I feel like it's kind of like one of those standstill kind of situations. It could either be, you know, a gold mine for some of these resellers right now, or it could actually be, you know, just fool's gold. It could go either way, which, you know, I don't know here or there. I'm not a reseller, so I can't really speculate on that.
Bro. All I know I'm still wearing them motherfuckers. Them some bitches are comfortable. I don't give a fuck.
No, they're comfortable, but you know what? This is one of the things also, and not to like really split hairs on, you know, some of the other details on it, is that I did see that Adidas does plan on still manufacturing the shoe, however, not putting his name on it. Because with the Yeezys, from what I understand, his name is only in the insole. So I think that that's going to be somewhat of a issue when it comes down to the resellers and everything because of the fact that you don't know if you got the Yeezys or the Wheezys. And that's going to be one of those things. Right, that's going to be that side of it. But another aspect of it, and, you know, this is something, you know, with my cousin, you know, that he was actually explaining, was the fact of, like, pretty much the whole thing that's been going around is, like, with the outrage. He's like, from a company standpoint, it's like, if you're really going to cut ties with someone and, you know, it really signifies what you're saying, it signifies, why continue to mass produce those shoes?
That part, because I'm just going to be honest, because we know us, like, we're fans of the culture and even a part of the sneaker culture. And I said this on social media, but I'm going to say this once again. Let's be real about Adidas. The only two shoes they really give a fuck about is the Shell Toes and the Stan Smiths. The hype of the Ultra Boost, gone. The hype of the NMDs, gone. Hell, even the hype of the Pharrell Human Racers, gone.
You know, like, Adidas definitely, I don't believe that this was something that they really wanted to do. I believe this was something that they were forced to do.
Yeah. Because even just... Just a couple of days ago, looking at their stock numbers, their stock had dropped, like, I want to say by like 5%. And it went from, I want to say, from like $80 a share to now, the last time I checked, to like $51 a share. And yeah, y'all, for don't know, I do be on my Robin Hood shit, trying to knowledge myself up in the stock.
No, but they're plummeting. It's slowly plummeting. Yeah. And you know, in a smart side of it, I do believe that when they take those type of dives, that's the time to, you know, go on ahead and buy in. But at the same token, with witnessing this, it's like, I can't, it's so many different things that kind of comes along with this, because I can't sit here and just really cape for someone reaping the consequences of something I feel as though that they were begging for.
Yeah.
This was something that was like, just really like, hey man, you know, given several different opportunities. And I can't also fault anyone for holding him to a level of consequence when others didn't.
Yeah.
So that's just like, that's that thing. And, you know, I know how much of a sensitive subject it is for others, but it's like, from the corporate side, the difference between, I feel as though, some cultures and others is that, like I was explaining to one of my girlfriends the other day, I was like, the difference is that with, you know, for us, for example, with the whole White Lives Matter and all of that kind of situation, because that's been one of the biggest things, like, where was this energy when this happened a couple of weeks ago? Because he's been saying out-of-pocket shit, right? But the difference is like, all right, it's like having somewhat of a blended household. You got a stepchild, right?
Yeah.
All right, so he's cutting up on the biological parent, and the parent is like, oh, you know, no, it's been like this since the divorce. We, you know, making all these excuses for
him. Right, right.
And it's okay, you know, this and that, throwing shoes at him, hitting mom, the whole nine, right? And, you know, being a step-parent, you're like, okay, well, hey, I'm going to stay out of y'all business. I'm going to let y'all handle that. Right. That's not none of my business. Right. I'm going to let y'all have it. You like it, I love it. Who am I to say anything differently?
Right.
But one day, that child takes that to that step parent, and it's one of those moments that it's like, you better than me, and it's not tolerated over there. Mm-hmm. So I'm not with however anybody feels on yay telling the truth or yay was right and all these different catalysts. Honestly, where I stand, hate is hate. Hate is never tolerated. And, you know, it's these are the consequences that comes along with, you know, certain actions, regardless if anybody wants to take it as a point of, you know, the Moses situation. And hey, everybody have your own stance. I could care less. I just feel as though that with this one, this is definitely what comes along. We can all, nobody is above getting fired. And if we're in the difference between he and like the average person is that when he goes out there and he's doing these interviews, is that he's representing his brand and that is his job. You can't, you know, like as far as you can definitely decide that I don't want to mess with these companies because the only reason why I was messing with Adidas or I was messing with Gap is because of his collapse. And that's definitely your prerogative and you could feel however you want to feel. But it's just the point that for all of us, no one is above the program.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
That's what's really coming from that situation. So, but as far as the Adidas and everything, like maintaining their value, and if this is however this is going to go, their $1 billion corporation, I'm sure they'll figure out a way to work it out.
Yeah.
It's not my problem. It's above my pay grade. So I'm just going to go on ahead and sit back and eat my Michael Jackson popcorn on that one.
No, I definitely feel you though, but I like even just saw like for me, like before we move on to the next subject, it's just like another thing that I'm looking at. This is like worst timing, and I get it. They had to force their hand, but it's worst timing because holiday season is right around the corner, and this is where you get most of your sales.
And that's why
from the holiday season,
absolutely.
So it's all like now, Adidas. Y'all done gave Nike free game to run it up on y'all.
And that's it's like it's, you know, it's one of those things also, but like, you know, I'm not gonna even I won't say ignorant, but let's not be blind to the fact that when it comes down to most of these corporations, they're not disconnecting from this man because of any type of moral fiber or anything that's just like, oh, it's my moral obligation. I feel as though that their hands are forced to do so. And, you know, the difference between our culture and their and you know, others' cultures is that we fight from the bottom up, right?
Yeah.
The bottom up in the sense of we have to have we fight with numbers in the sense of we gonna boycott you. We not gonna do this. We not gonna do that.
Right.
But even in the sense of some of these Gucci boycotts, half the niggas is like, we not fucking with Gucci. The other half is like, I'm still gonna wear my shit. I don't care.
Right.
And the difference the difference between our culture and their culture is that they don't need every member of their culture to participate in their boycotts.
Right. No,
with us, it's like, from them, it's like, okay, it's four or five people make these calls, like, shut that shit down. We not fucking with it. With us, we don't have that level of representation. So it's like, we need all these people to go on ahead and participate in order for us to, like, really be heard, as opposed to actually trying to figure out how we can establish that type of form of representation from the top. So that's what I'm saying. The difference between our situation on why, you know, certain results aren't being had is because we're fighting from the bottom to the top. They're fighting from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
Where it's like four, you know, getting a council type of call, a corporate call, and it's like four or five people making this decision. And it doesn't matter if every person that's a part of that culture agrees with the boycott or not. It's been done, so shall it be done. It's been said, so shall it be done. And that's the way it's carried out. Mm-hmm. But with us, it's like, well, you know, half of the people don't believe that these consequences are, you know, should be had out, like that he deserves what's going on. And then the other half is like, you know, shit, I don't care. Like, let it go on with the Samuel L. Jackson voice, you know, I'll be dying, I'll be burning hell type shit.
Right.
That's like, it's a half and half type of deal. But the reason why you see different results on that situation is because they're not relying on the average person to really carry out their orders. It's like, if you're offended, you're offended.
Yes.
But this is the way we're standing up for ourselves. And,
and
that's something that I feel like we can all learn from, in the sense of trying to establish that type of representation for us. Because when it comes down to it, we can't ignore the fact that we are not heard.
That's a fact. You up here talking your shit today. All right, moving along. This one.
Hey, that's the one, though. This is the one that Air Jordan lost and found. I just mentioned that. Yeah.
Motherfuckers. The Air Jordan 1 lost and found.
I'm not going to even lie. Not going back to that one. I don't think Adidas was going to have any contenders if they tried. This holiday season getting pretty wild. That the Starfish has just dropped. And then we're about to get these lost and found.
And then not to mention the cherry red 11s in December.
Are you feeling those?
No.
Okay, so
no.
But you know what? They're not the worst, but I do prefer the lows because those were the ones that, you know, just kind of take me back to the
time. Hey, I said this and I'm going to say this again. Jordan 11s is the most uncomfortable sneaker ever known to man.
You're kind of like not a, but it's like a bias type of deal. You already have you have reservations against 11. So
I'm not like 11s, but they're uncomfortable.
Okay, so I just want to make sure if you do like them, because I'm like, hey, it's not a conversation to be had if you don't like
them. Not wearing them motherfuckers every day though.
No, not at all. It's not as much like, because they're just real narrow.
They hurt.
Yeah.
They hurt.
Okay, so hold on. What do you think the most comfortable Jordan is?
Oh, that's easy. It's down to these two. Jordan 7 and a 10. Jordan 7 and a 10s. The 7 and the 10s are the most comfortable Jordans in their silhouette. The 6s, the first couple of waves of 6s was terrible. But now, I love 6s. I got like 3 pair of them motherfuckers. Okay. Them motherfuckers is comfortable. I can wear those all day.
Unpopular opinion. I know that some people feel a way about the 3s and everything.
Yeah.
But the 4s are, you know, really uncomfortable to me. Like on an all day type of deal. Yeah, I'm not going to be at a theme park and those. But the most comfortable Jordans, in my personal opinion, are 9s.
You know what? I heard a couple of people say that too.
9s are really comfortable.
No, like for real.
Let's not get beside ourselves. Lost and found.
Man, let's get into this shit. Okay, so apparently they said they got over 500,000 pairs.
Hopefully none of them are in Memphis.
That part, they probably were. Some of them are all
in
Memphis.
I didn't see those niggas selling those though.
But all I know, I think they are, but they're just waiting because I know not too long ago, I just seen like, and I forgot what college it was, and all of these motherfuckers had on the cherry red.
But you know what? That was Howard. That was Howard for the marching band. But I feel as though that might have been something that they like worked out directly through Nike, because you know they just have that. Was it the Howard 6s or 7s that they did?
Oh yeah, the Jordan. Yeah.
You need to review those. Those were really slick. And they've been doing a whole lot of HBCU combinations. Right?
Oh no, yeah, but these motherfuckers right here, I don't believe it one bit, because there's already photos circulating that motherfuckers are backdooring these already. And they ain't even dropped yet. We knew this was going
to
happen.
As long as I know some people are talking about trying to get 2 pairs or whatever the case may be, as long as I can get 1 pair, I'm really happy about that. I'm just really, I'm a little disappointed in the fact that I'm not going to be able to get that unique packaging because of my shoe size.
You're going to get it.
I hope so.
You're going to get it.
I was able to luck up on the black and yellow Nike for the pollens. Oh. That one, I was able to get that one. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, they don't really be trying to, you know, do the special packaging for us. We'd be lucky if we get a keychain most of the time, you know? You be over here talking so much shit about my shoe size, but I'm telling you, it's hard out here for a pimp.
Man, but I don't... Okay.
Yeah. That side of it, because I like bells and whistles. I like tricks. I like, you know, all that kind of shit. I like extras. I like the little extras. I don't, you know.
I hate the fact you said bells and whistles.
Yeah, the bells. I like them. I like them, but it's like we don't get it. But for most of you guys, I know you guys are familiar with the Lost and Founds.
Uh-huh.
They're talking about they're going to be giving us over 500,000 pairs of these. That will remain to be seen. We shall see how that goes. But these are going to be an amazing pickup. They should be releasing sometime next month. So everybody be on the lookout. If you guys did not catch those starfishes that were released pretty much today, right?
I think that's another one that I probably might have to go back.
Cake's already been baked, Woody. You know what? It's not as difficult on that app as I heard it was these days. I don't know. My homegirl hit earlier, you know. Shout out to you, Bugalow. You know, she hit earlier. She sent me the screenshot and shit, because it just be so much. It's like seeing a unicorn now when you get the Gotthams. But
right,
those motherfuckers, those were smooth. So.
Oh, no, yeah, they look, yeah, they definitely were smooth, and so many things you could do with that orange and brown. Even though I have the starfish low, so, but I wouldn't mind.
Oh, the pies is a different animal.
The only thing
I'll say that's disappointing about those is the fact that they didn't incorporate alternate laces, because I feel like the brown laces or the sail laces would really sell it off.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to you, though. When we were out there at the Revolt Summit and you hit me with the on those Chanel Jordans, the varsities, and you hit those sail laces in there. Yeah, you're like, hey, don't do the red ones. Do the sail.
And not for nothing, when we went out there, all the females had the red ones in. Hey. You was the one that was standing out and being different from everybody else.
I just do that. But you hooked it up. You definitely that was you for sure, for sure.
No, yeah.
You know, and if you guys want some looks on the looks, just to go check out our page. But that was definitely style, the shoe style by Steven. Hey, that got a ring to it.
You
out here freelancing this shit, style by Steven. I'm gonna trademark that one. I'm gonna get an LLC on that. Getting into this one, we got the kids trunks versus the future trunks, dunk concepts. The thing about these dunk concepts is that they really, really like it's a gift and it's a curse, because the gift part is that these motherfuckers look sensational. The curse is if they gonna really, are we gonna ever get these?
But it's like one of those things, like, you know, you never know until it's put out there. And they actually do it, because throughout sneaker history, we seen a lot of concepts, and then as years pass by, they really actually ain't gonna go do them. But this right here,
I would go get the shoes and give them to what was my guy? Is it Match? The dude that does the cleats? He does the customized ones. But I would actually go personally get these, because I'm not really a huge fan of like customized shoes for the most part. Just simply because it, don't get me wrong, it's so much you can do with them. But it just kind of seems almost like a bootleg shoe sometimes.
So I know
that they kind of get a lot of slack, but these right here, the way that they actually lay them out, you know, for you guys that are going to get the visuals on these, you guys know exactly what I mean when I mean what I say, what I mean on these. These are fucking sick.
Right, they both dope. The kid trunks and the future trunks.
And I would hope they would make that one pair, because that would be so sick on some, like, you know, on some do-si-do type situation.
As opposed to
doing two, you know, separate pairs, doing one pair of the future and the kid trunks. And this is definitely a huge nod to my DBZ fans.
Absolutely. And like, when I came across that concept, I was just all like, man, that shit is amazing. And would love to see it, though, because anytime, like, you know, when concepts happens, you know, like, it's not them trademarking, just them really doing a collab. Like, you know, we saw the collab with South Park, and then at one point Adidas did a collab with the whole Dragon Ball shit, and that shit was terrible. That didn't work out.
Oh, you know, and I think, I don't know if Puma did also, but it just is like sometimes with these collaborations, it's a hit and miss, because I saw that Adidas is doing one with the Simpsons right now, and I definitely preferred the Vans collaboration. I didn't really like, because they, I saw one portion where they had the Homer where he was backing back into the grass, and I was like, oh, this shit.
Even like with Vans, like what you said, going back with Vans, I like Vans Toy Story collab a little bit better than when Reebok had
The Vans Toy Story one, that was really good. I got Cairo and my guy kids, those motherfuckers was hard.
Those was amazing. And even just going back, I remember, I want to say, was it 2007 or 2008, I remember Vans did a collab with Nintendo, and they dropped like a whole little Nintendo collab, and one of the Vans OG High was the original Nintendo controller too. I'm one of those things I had in my stash and I sold like a dummy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, you gotta wear them and you gotta sit on them. I don't think that this one was an official one, but I have those N64 Air Max 97s, you know what I'm talking about?
Those
weren't official, though. They were reminiscent of it. But those motherfuckers, and I think the resale on those are actually, they went up, because I, you know, I'll be going on there, even though I don't really fuck with the resale. I like checking the value of my sneakers, like and shit, like they fucking stocks or whatever.
Right.
But that was a cool little colorway. But last but not least, we got these social status Nike Air Penny 2s. These motherfuckers are cold.
I'm definitely feeling these. This university blue and that cream notebook, you know, with the reflector splitting on the respective colors, and them, you know, co-branding with the social status, and on the Nike scene on the lateral oval near the ankle. You know what I'm saying? The white midsole extends into the midfoot on the lateral side, which features a forefront of the Zoom Air unit and an Air Max unit seen in the heel of the social status. And Nike Air Penny is scheduled to release the drop on via socialstatuspush.com November 4th, and it's retailing at $200. I ain't gonna lie, a couple of these penny drops they've been doing, motherfuckers been hitting.
They have been.
They've been hitting.
There's actually a, what was the last one that they just released a couple of weeks ago?
I want to say, what penny number is that?
Was it a two?
I think so.
It's sitting on sneakers right now. But the pennies, like, I know a lot of people really move towards the foam posits, but the penny twos, oh my gosh, that's definitely a nostalgic pair.
I'm
not to take anything away from the pennies, but I can't wait for them to start bringing out those Pippins.
Yes, me too. Me too. Like, I'm excited because I do need some pennies. I do need some Pippins. I gotta go back and go get the Gary Paytons, the son of a gloves. Like, I just feel like it's certain shoes, and this just me, like, as a sneakerhead, like, you gotta have, like, because growing up in the 90s, like, those were like definitive shoes.
Oh, absolutely.
Other than the Jordans.
Terrace. You got the Deion Sanders. You got the Julian Seos.
Yeah, the Ken Griffey's.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, man.
And the thing is that, like, the thing, like, with the Ken Griffey's is that the Ken Griffey's were definitely a sought after pair of shoes.
Yes.
I just don't like what they've done to them recently.
They
become Foot Locker Delights. And it's just like,
that's a good one. I like that. One Locker Delights.
One point in time, they were definitely like, they were doing numbers. It's like the Bo Jacksons and everything. Like, it was something that you wouldn't mind, you know, like, oh man, okay, cool. I like your shoes. I like your Griffies. But it's like the last few years, they've kind of like, they did to them what they were attempting to do with the foam posits at one point. And it was another shoe we were the Up Temples, where we were happy that they started to slow down on those, but they were just really ODing on those. And I just hope that they go on ahead and figure out how to maintain some type of integrity behind the Griffies before they, like, really, it goes too far.
Before they go to shits.
Exactly. But, you know, bonus episode coming soon. Big Chubbs, we're going to go ahead and go through all of those.
Oh, yes, absolutely. All right, it's about that time. Going to go ahead and go check the ROM. So, first up, we start off with Marco Plus, Southside Villain. And this one really kind of... It threw me off because I never heard of this guy before.
It's like, what did it do for you? It kind of threw me off. I'm glad you was honest about that. That shit threw me off too. I was like, okay, but I gave it a chance. And honestly, the production on here was really cool. I thought the production was really smooth. Definitely coming out of Atlanta. He's you can tell that he's definitely
a spitter.
He's a spitter, but he's up and coming.
I would like
to really table him with my playlist and revisit him in a couple of years when he develops more of experience.
Absolutely.
What I'm getting right now and being off beat for some people is a thing, and you know they're able to do it because G Herbo has just definitely made a whole brand out of it. And it's like, it just goes, you know, like they had this thing with G Herbo where they were like, G Herbo, you know, to the producer, hey, right. my rhyme done. It's like, nigga, I haven't even sent you the beat yet. That kind of deal. But and there's some of them that actually has the finesse of being at the luxury, I should say, of being able to have that skill to be off beat. In this case, I just wasn't really too much of a fan of it. Mm-hmm. However, whoever did the production behind this, they really went out. And what he was saying, it wasn't horrible. It was just the point of he was almost like 5 seconds just completely off, and I get it, but I'm not at that point right
now. I feel
at that point, I felt like, you know, give me my wine and my Isley Brothers. Turn this shit off. Like, that's what I was gathering. But like I said, the production, and I would like for everybody, of course, whatever review we give you guys, I always just really highly encourage you guys all to still go ahead and listen.
Right,
because
you might, yeah, you might,
it
like
might resonate for you, but. Like I said, the South Side Villain LP by Marco Plus, for me, it was more production. The bars were there. They were just 5 seconds ahead. The bars were in the future.
No, yeah. And yeah. It was only like, for me, out of this whole LP, only took one song from it, and it was Painkiller. I definitely enjoyed that though, but I'm with you on that. Everything what you said, like, I want to see some more growth from him. They say he got a catalog, so maybe I would go back and check out the catalog. But
I don't know
this
if I want to go back. I want to go forward, baby. I want to see what the future looking like. But see he had a song on there with our guy Grip.
And that one was all right though. So I mean, you guys want to check it out, go ahead and check it out. Marco Plus.
Give us a little bit of that. The song that you like.
The only one song.
Yeah,
one song.
We didn't talk so much shit. We gotta give something. Okay. Give a compliment.
Okay. Sound. Like what you said. I like the production, but
mindful of stress. I've been smoking a lot, to cope with a lot, loading the clock because I'm paranoid.
And I felt like he was on beat on this one.
I'm ready for it. I say my prayers before I leave the crib and watch where I'm going. Make sure I'm knowing where the evil is. It's funny how I found God so close to where my demons live. I've been on some fucking world shit. I just might keep the kid. I was out in Cali doing shows just trying to be legit. I keep a split for the drama. I'm calmer when the reefer lit. Meditating while medicating.
Yeah, that one was smooth.
And let's not miss the fact that Kendrick Lamar had the greatest album of all year. And the fact that Freddie Gibbs is ranking second, because I can't get that motherfucker off my playlist. I can't stop playing it. Have you been stuck on that Freddie Gibbs?
No, yeah. I went, honestly, to be real with you, I actually played both of them motherfuckers this week. I was playing Freddie, then right after Freddie, I went to Miss and Morale. Like,
Those they going neck and neck right now. Neck and neck, you know, it's easy, hands down on. We all know what it is. Yeah. But that Freddie Gibbs, I'm not going to stop talking about that probably until 2023. the clock strikes 2023.
No, yeah,
that motherfucker's a masterpiece.
No, yeah, it is. It is. It is. All right, moving on. This one, I actually enjoyed this one.
Yes,
Armani Caesar, The Liz 2. Mm-hmm. You know, Griselda, you can't lose with them, man. And it's like every time when I hear her flow, like, she's getting better and better and better.
Absolutely. She's like, definitely giving me, you know, like, I know we got it, The Liz, but she's giving Foxy vibes.
Oh, yeah, 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 sure. Absolutely.
She's giving all the Foxy vibes, and I hate really comparing artists, but in some cases, we have to do that.
Yeah,
just
we
in
got
case.
To. Gotta come,
just in,
they,
just
they
in
come
a sense
from
of,
somewhere.
Just in a sense of, you know, giving someone, if I had to give a description for all my hip-hop heads. But yeah, again, I really enjoyed this as well. I enjoyed the Paula Deen. I like the Diana.
Shut
with, the
I'm
Paula
about to
Deen,
go to that.
The Paula Deen with West Side Gun, the Diana with Kodak Black, and then
Paula,
I like that.
Paula Deen, it set the whole tone for the album. This set the whole tone.
Hey, yo. Ayo, all up on my clit, just kiss it. Y'all a bunch of broke-ass bitches. Came up in the game in the 4-5-6. Say them VVS is why them shits ain't hitting. Potty trained, bitch, shitting. Why they gossiping, I run up my ditches. Back in the kitchen, better bitches.
And then, like what you said right after that, Diana with Kodak Black.
Oh, because Kodak, man, I'm telling you, I was in a grocery store. I'm like, damn, I shouldn't be this hard. I shouldn't be going this hard in the grocery store. I'm trying. I'm in the produce section. It's like, okay, let me turn this shit off. What you are, but that between that and then that $100 hiccup with her and Benny, like, and So God Cooks, like, that motherfucker, like, they really put out the stops on this one. And she came out. She definitely came to the level because I know when you have such an amazing team around you, especially when you're surrounded by men, it's really difficult to, like, for some to hold their weight. But she did that on this project. And also a thing that I appreciated was them incorporating the Benny interviews on him just, like, giving her props and giving her flowers in a sense of you know, I witnessed her growth. And she's not just here because she's a pretty face and she's just a girl that, you know, calls herself spitting. No, she really has that skill. And I, like, she established that on this project. So
absolutely.
I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And then just, like, you know, just like, you know, seeing, like, the names of the tracks.
So that's what,
like,
I was just about to say. The Method Man, First Wives Club.
Mel Gibson.
Diana. And then, like, incorporating it with the concept of it, you know, being Liz Taylor and incorporating the Liz Taylor interviews in it also, because that's one of the things, like, you know, it's just it's a nod to just femininity as well, mm-hmm. in the sense of, you know, the quote-unquote mm-hmm. boss bitch energy and all of that. So, hey, I feel as though that she did her shit on this album. I don't, you know.
Oh, no, yeah, she definitely did, though. So, I mean, here, you know, I recommend you guys listen to this. Armani Caesar, you won't be disappointed. Y'all always crying, complaining, talking about there ain't no female spitters. Here you go.
Yeah, she.
Here you go.
There you go.
And you're welcome.
And it's not all, you know.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
I'm gonna bleed your bank account and I'm gonna get flued out and all that, and not minimizing that because it's a time and place for everything.
Right, it
but
is.
It just wasn't here at this.
Yeah,
place,
it so, wasn't. It yeah. wasn't. It wasn't. So yes, Armani Caesar, The Liz Part 2. All right, next up.
The father of dogs, the dogs of all fathers, correct?
Woo, Gangsta Grill, Snoop Dogg. I still got it. Jesus Christ. That's all I'm going to say. For a nigga to be in his 50s, to be born it up like this? Mm. What?
Yeah, and I think that the album was very befitting. It was very fitting for the amount of skill that he gave. The I Still Got It. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really the one. That was the best title that they could have ever gave it.
Oh, man.
It's like that. I could just imagine a nigga in the booth and he's like, man, I still got it.
Right.
You know?
Then from.
I was 21 when I started Gangsta Grills.
You setting it off like this?
I still got it.
I'm from 21st Street.
Me and Dawg got about 21 takes together alone.
Yeah, 21st.
Hey, Drama been in his bag lately.
You know what's so funny? I'm related. I just heard today earlier that Snoop Dogg smokes over 150 joints a day.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. I don't know how that man's walking around. It's like, he has the whole blunt roller, joint roller on staff, but it's like this nigga just has a whole joint genie. Like,
right.
Pops out of, like, with. I'm like, damn, nigga.
That's crazy. You go from 21 First Street.
But maybe he's tapped into something that we don't know about. Smoking 150 joints away might keep the Alzheimer's away. I don't know. Whatever it is. I don't know what it's doing, but it's doing something for him. But this album was amazing. I really enjoyed damn near every track. I like the No Half 7. The Dave East this collaborations one. Were amazing. We had Corrupt on there.
This one with, you know, like what you said, Davey said Corrupt. God bless it then. But I can hear Nipsey all over this with all of them together. This was hard.
Niggas are impressed by other niggas' reps, but the thing you know best is where the tech is kept. Cause you can get jacked on sight if you ain't precise. Fake a full fist fights, make the homies take flight.
Fly, take off on you like I ain't going to work today. Most of your favorite rappers pussy, I know it hurt to say. My mama told me hold my brother down cause she was working late. My cousin turned Muslim
Davies
the minute he beat
lot
that
of
murder
condom all around the world. I don't know, but he delivers. He delivers.
Yeah, man.
He really does.
Man. Man, y'all better stop playing with Dave East and put some respect on that man's
name.
They
definitely do need to put some respect on Dave
East. Like, for real. Y'all stop playing with
him,
though.
And also go buy a shirt from the deli while you're at it.
Yes, for real. For real, though. But Gangsta Grills, I still got it. That just lets you know, I feel like the way he was flowing on this, that upcoming missionary, I think they're going to do it.
Hey, especially if we get the Dre production, because don't get me wrong about DJ Drama, but it's going to be a whole different animal once we get him and Dre together. together. Yes, like, yes, yes. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
Oh, no, yes, absolutely. All right, next up and last on the list, this one. Woo-wee. Shush. It gave me, took me back to.
It took you back to 2005.
So summer of 2005 when I graduated high school. Mm-hmm.
Man. It's up, we just get to walk, nigga. Hoes is hoes. Pink slips in the D's, yeah, we live for those. Lube them up with the grease, yes, like a Mykonos.
Like, he gave us that, that thug motivation, that,
and what I enjoyed about the project is that he also displayed growth.
Yes.
And the fact that he, you know, and one of the things I seen kind of unrelated to the project, but somewhat related to the project because he was doing an interview, is the fact that Jeezy said for his birthday, he doesn't buy, you know, chains or anything like that. He buys a new property every year for his birthday.
Yes, I heard that too. Yes, yes.
That's definitely commendable. Yes. And I always love when artists go past, like, it's one thing to actually talk about, you know, a life you lived and go back and kind of relish on it. But the fact of that he can still articulate his growth right now, I thought that was really commendable.
Yes.
And, you know, because we clearly know he's not the same guy.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah, yes, yes, absolutely.
The growth is really on the project. It's you know, that's what it is. And then the production from DJ Drama and how well they complemented each other. Like you said, I just got all of the 2005 feels for sure.
Oh, man, like, I mean, from that, from the intro, this, bruh.
I've been getting this shit great. Let me see if some of y'all can relate. Blue and red lights. Loaded looking like some headlights. Come a trap out the bakery. Yes, with a green I've been getting this shit sick great. Water whipping on the best out. BBS, get them water stones. Type of shit to make you stick your chest out.
Another one of my favorite was this. Street Cred. Yeah, Street Cred.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah.
City blocks that
now they talk about our shit on Pennsylvania Avenue. Nigga, every street in America know who we are.
Came from in the mix with 36. Pockets full with dirty kicks. Weighing up the mountains. And I swear we had like 36. Diamond in the rough. Yeah, you see that boy them glowed up.
And they know, I don't know why, but this one been on repeat for me lately. I ain't gonna hold you. It gave me like that. Like taking a sample from like some 80s, like some 80s shit from like
either, I got
like
that one. I got that one too.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I was like, this one did it for me. I was like, ah.
I ain't gonna hold you. Feel like I got the world on my shoulder. Remind me of when I'm them boulders. Catch me in that all white thing, chilling at the red light, top down.
You know what's so funny, alright? So me and my boy Ace, we were in a car and we heard this song, and my nigga was like, "Who did he make this song for?" And I was like, "I don't know." We were trying to place like who he made that song for, and now we know he made it for you, Steve.
Hey.
No, I'm with it. Hey. you hear your Sada baby?
Yes.
But that shit definitely gave Sada Baby vibes, like, for sure.
I love it.
But, yeah, that was that new Young Jeezy. Well, actually, see, he's just going by Jeezy. I'm going backwards right now. This man is moving forward. He is just Jeezy.
Yes.
So, yes, we got the Jeezy and the DJ Drama Snowfall. So if you haven't checked it out, you know, please do. But this actually takes us in and move us into, you know, this is actually a double entendre, because if you don't know, now you know with the Snowfall. And if you don't know, now you know. This is our segment where we get into an artist and reacquaint you with someone that you may know. And if you haven't known, here you go. If you don't know, now you know. It's pretty self-explanatory. But the artist of this week right now, who we got, Steve? We got DT702. Yes,
coming from the city. Vegas native, been an MC up on the rise, where he is pretty much doing a lot of TikToks. He's doing videos where, you know, he letting people rap on there with him. And, like, for me, I actually like a little bit of his flows. I get, like, the feel of, like, a mixture of a little bit of Crit, a little bit of Soul, a little bit of Kendrick. Just pretty much, I consider him like one of them backpack rappers.
Okay, that's really dope. Yeah. I listened to the song earlier this week, and it's really dope because of the fact I love this segment. This is actually one of my favorite segments of our show. just simply because we get to highlight artists that's really pushing through.
Oh, no, yeah,
and
absolutely.
And what I liked about his side is that we have so many people where, you know, especially being in Las Vegas, where everybody wants to be from somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
So,
yes.
And how can you ever break through that door representing something else? It's just being yourself. So yeah. I like the fact that he is from 702 and the music is available here on Apple. And give him a little bit of that Keep the Same Energy, that, that latest single.
Oh, no, yes, absolutely. On Apple and on Tidal.
Yes. Trying to give the Jeezy kind of, you know,
Yeah.
I didn't need your respect. No. We'll talk humble, move humble, and vote you blessed. I'm independent, it's been away for a long minute. Made my own juice in the kitchen, don't need your permission. I am who I am as a given, I gifted and rapping. The ribbon was passive aggressive, I knew better. This passion progressive, ensure my endeavors. I travel, unravel my image and wait that it's clever. To prove I'm above the devil with all the hate I can.
So again, if you guys are looking for our guy, it's DT702. That's his tag on Instagram.
Yes.
The track that we just played is Keep That Energy. And he's been doing it for some time now, right, Steve?
Yes, absolutely, man, absolutely. Just out there, like, grinding, like, and not afraid to, like, you know, to be himself. And even just when he does his shows, he's running up and down the aisles, interacting with the crowd. So, love the energy, too, when I had seen it on his social media, him doing his shows and everything, though. So, yes, and if you
don't know, now you know.
Need to check that out. So, now, let's go into it.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
All right. This is Nikki's pick.
Yes. Guilty as charged.
Yes. It is February 25th, 2003.
Yes.
The debut of the world famous
Little Brother.
Fonte.
Big Pooh.
Ninth Wonder. Let's go.
Yes. As Steven gave us that warm introduction, Little Brother. That man, yes. I swear, well, actually, it's really Big Brother, because that's who really introduced me to Little Brother. My big brothers, Keith, Jeff, Will, you know, this was just, they were real instrumental of laying this out for me. And this album right here just laid down that foundation of reawakening my love for hip-hop. Because Little Brother came at a time where we getting so much of the oversaturation of just the common, you know, it wasn't no problem, but, you know, especially being in high school, you seeing the crash, the party, you getting all of this,
the
step
Jaquan,
in,
the hood, the,
all of that,
the
all cheating, of that, you get in all of that, shit. You get in the fucking Fab, you're getting It's My Party, you get all of that, and it's nothing wrong with that. But this is what really, like, just took me back to just all of that soulful feels from basically, like, and they really said it. It was, Little Brother was one of those groups where they let you know off bat they're not getting love in their hometown. They're letting you know off bat that, you know, we're here to restore hip-hop, dope lyrics, soulful beats, and just the production. I feel as though that they were just really ahead of, they were right where we needed at that moment, but they were truly ahead of their time, and they ushered in and they set the, they brought out so many other artists. We had Legacy, we had the Away Team, we had fucking Sky Zoo was also came from their tree.
Yeah.
We had all of the Ninth Wonder production that he did with Buckshot of Black Moon.
Yeah.
We have, like,
Rhapsody came
also
from,
and then just the Justice League in general. And once Ninth broke out and started doing production with everybody else, it was just like they really are here to stay. But hearing, like, just seeing the transition of Little Brother from going from the Listening, which is the album right now that we're going into, and I just got to give you guys a little bit of that Speed right there,
Speed,
because
that was
one of my favorite songs. I was really, like, in my car on my way to my call center job at like 5 a.m. and this fucking song, I would play this song every fucking time on my way to my job, because he started off another day to face. sharecropping in this paper case. It's looking at my alarm clock. It spoke everything to me. Then we also had the, but it's like the Away From Me, where basically, like, we got the intro on this one, but just how soulful that is, where we have the open letter from Big Pooh to his brother. And it was just like, oh my God, if you get that, if you hear that and you don't really feel just the story behind it. And it's just like, you know, you guys already know what this album is, but if you guys can't get into that, to the listening,
Something's wrong with you.
It's just, we just a lost cause at this point. It's just maybe it, like, and they said it right there, you niggas ain't listening. It's that fucking P-Rock and CL Smooth sample right there, that reminisce.
Nah, man, I got some fond memories of this too. Getting out of high school and used to take the bus. Me and my boy Pernell, shout out to my boy Pernell, used to take the bus from the north all the way to the east, and I would just blast this in my Walkman as we're going traveling to the east so we could go practice with a couple of our crewmates in our first crew at that time called Dropping Knowledge. So I mean, like, this carries some weight for me too as well. So when you had picked this, I was like, this is what we're doing.
This is what we're doing. I'll go ahead and say it. This is one of my first picks, my first classic corners that even came out in the 2000s. I had to, like, I was like, you know what? It's about time. Because Little Brother, I feel as though it doesn't get the praise and doesn't get the amount of attention, doesn't get the acknowledgement, doesn't get the flowers that they really deserve.
Absolutely.
And just even down to, like, Fonte with Nicolay and Foreign Exchange, and just everything that came, that was a fruit from that tree. Like I said, like, we had Crisis. We had just so much that came from the Justice League, and just going from the listening to Chitlin' Circuit to going to the Minstrel Show. We got Joe Scudder. Like, it was just so much.
Man,
and
I'm getting
the chills just thinking about it, because that, all of that just really paved the way for just, like, again, my reintroduction to hip hop, because it was always there. And we had Common dropping Come Closer and all of that. But we got to also keep in mind, this was really at the time where 106 and Park was running absolutely everything. And as
really
you know, these guys were not being played on 106 and Park. So it's one of those things, I would come in contact with people that would be from North Carolina, be from Raleigh. And I'm like, yeah, one of my favorite groups is from out there. And they're like, who? Like, Little Brother. And they like, who the fuck is that? You know, and I run into the same situation when I come in contact with certain people from Detroit, and I start mentioning LZI, Slum Village, and fucking Danny Brown, Jay Dilla, and all that, and they just like,
crazy. And Jay Dilla been around since the 90s.
And like, it's wild, but it's just, it's a certain, it's like when you come in, it's so many subcultures within the culture. We can't ignore that. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, like I said, Little Brother, it just really is real, like, it's difficult in some cases to even speak on them, because, like, I really like the way my brothers and the type of emotions that go with this project, because on the way that they introduced it to me. And, you know, rest in peace to my brother Jeff again, and we love you, man. Like, this is just, it's a salute to hip hop. Had the opportunity to see them at Brooklyn Bowl. And if you guys haven't been to Brooklyn Bowl here in Las Vegas, if you guys are fortunate to have a Brooklyn Bowl in your city, you know, definitely, you know, check out the shows there. Fucking the chicken is amazing. Missed
you
that.
Was really a chicken connoisseur.
I kind of am. And if it wasn't disrespectful, I would have even allowed you to call me a chicken head, but it's disrespectful.
No,
so
I'm not calling you a chicken head.
You're
not a chicken head.
Right, no, but it's like, no. I really do.
Sore.
I love it. So, okay. Yes, definitely the Brooklyn Bowl, man. Like, that's one of my favorite things about going to their shows. I know we missed the Action Bronson there.
Yeah, we did.
But a lot of shit was going on, so it just is what it is. And more shows to come. But again, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to express my gratitude to not only Little Brother, Ninth Wonders Production, and just, like, you know, just a nod to hip hop, and, you know, expressing that, because I know that there's somebody somewhere that feels me and understands, you know, aside from you and I.
Right.
another double entendre because you and I is one of my favorite groups also, but you know, that just really has that same level of appreciation. So again, like, feel good to be back. Thank you guys for your patience.
Right.
Nothing but infinite love and gratitude. And yeah, man, we here and more to come, more to come.
Yes, because we're out here selling rhymes like dimes, like my boy MF Doom. Rhymes like dimes.
Yes, rhymes like dimes. Yes, but
I loved your pick and everything, though. And it was fun doing this with you back in this place and in this space once again, though. But once again, y'all can follow us on our social media, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. You fuck with us, leave a comment. You don't fuck with us, leave a comment.
Yeah.
Yes, like, for real. And on our audio platforms, Apple, Google, SoundCloud, Podbay, Podbean, Spotify, and go ahead and follow us on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You know what I'm saying? Leave comments, show love. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we only going up from here on out, from here though. So, you know, we're going to continue to give you all that good stuff, like, you know, for the culture and by the culture within hip-hop culture.
And again, huge shout out to Tope, you know, that bonus episode. Yes. Make sure y'all tap in on that.
Yes.
This is Nikki B, and I'm signing off.
Yes, and this your boy, Skeeter Steve. Lace Rums, we out.
Ace.